Tri-County Contracting, worry-free roofing, siding, and windows. To sign up for a free estimate, get info on their worry-free roof tune-up or their free yearly roof inspections, or to get an instant roof quote, visit them online at tricountycontractingwi.com. It remains unfinished business, at least for another month.
Are there any objections to holding it in council? Okay, hearing none, so ordered.
And the can, again, kicked on the flag.
I'm legitimately asking, should you and I even keep covering this?
Live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios at the Avenue in downtown Milwaukee, this is Wisconsin's Morning News. Here's Eric Bilstad and Vince Petrano.
Streaming live anytime on the YouTubes, also available in video form on our digital app or WTMJ.com. And the podcast available. Greg Pancake Hill, who produces the program, starts podcasting the show as we go. So if you've missed any portion of the program today, you want to catch up, that is available as well, wherever you get your podcasts. Election Day, November 5th. But significantly, in-person absentee voting, heard it already began in Georgia this week. It begins here in Wisconsin next week. This, as we already know, more than 250,000 ballots have been cast in our state already. So these would be absentee votes, and they've either been mailed back to clerks or clerks have recovered them from drop boxes for folks who filled them out and deposited mm-hmm. them that way. And we have that data from the Wisconsin Elections Commission, which updates that on a fairly regular basis. As for in-person absentee voting, a lot of folks call it early voting, days and locations, hours for that vary by community. So if that is your plan for voting, you want to vote early, as we say, you got to check with your local clerk's office if that's how you want to vote. If you live in Madison and Milwaukee, you can vote virtually around the clock for that two-week period, right? They'll have hours on Saturday. They'll have hours on Sunday. They'll have multiple locations. If you live in some rural community, your clerk might have hours once a week and then everything in between. So it just varies. Quick aside, I think that's ridiculous, but that's a topic for another discussion, which I will come back and bother you with again, E. Because I just don't think we should have boutique rules for voting.
But even though some areas have 18 times the amount of people versus
also
other.
Fair. Anyway, what I want to talk about today is it's really about the ground game at this point anymore. Like, who is changing someone's mind? I asked you this question before. Like, if you have a conversation with someone who's ideologically opposed to your politics, what luck do you expect to have in changing that person's vote, changing them over to your side?
0%.
Right? And the number of people who will change how they think about something based on what they've read on your Facebook page is zero. The next one will be the first, right? But yet we're all out there going, if you plan to vote for this person, you should know. It's not working. And the campaigns, they understand that. And what I think is so fascinating about where we are over the last decade or so, certainly the last couple of election cycles, is what the campaigns have realized in these razor-tight races, as we've had, as this one for president appears to be again, is that the play is not to focus on changing people's minds about the candidate or even necessarily about those undecideds. There allegedly are still some undecideds. I don't know how that can be at this point. But really, it's more about focusing on getting your votes out. The Marquette University Law School poll that you just referenced in the Newsie, national survey, one of the questions they asked in terms of who, outside of who you're voting for and all these other things, I always think this was an interesting question. This is about voter enthusiasm. And it basically is trying to measure who's going to actually turn their votes out. Because if you're enthusiastic about voting, you maybe already cast your ballot. You maybe already did the absentee. You're going to vote early. You want to make sure you're voting. If you're not so enthusiastic, you may not show up.
Meh, we'll see.
Yes.
Is it raining that day? Are the lines long?
Yeah, I may vote, right? So this is how they phrase the question. How enthusiastic are you about voting in the elections in November 2024 for president and other offices? Would you say you are very, somewhat, not too, or not at all enthusiastic? And then they tabulate these results. Mm-hmm. And this was a national poll. 18% of registered voters, so these are people who are registered to vote, who identify as Democrats, said they were either not too or not at all enthusiastic about voting in this coming election. Number was 20% for Republicans who said the same. So these are folks who are probably otherwise aligned with either VP Harris or former President Trump, but they're like, meh.
That's a significant number on both sides.
That's the election. right? 18% of Democrats who are registered to vote, 20% of Republicans registered to vote. What's our margin in Wisconsin? 1% in the last couple elections? That's the election, which I think is so fascinating, probably why you're going to have more knocks at your door. We had an interesting one the other day at my house. You had one at yours. Pancake had one at his.
Yep.
All probably different types of operations. Ours was the other day, lady came to the door, and she had the classic door-to-door person look. She had like some sort of vest on, and there was a lanyard of some kind.
A lanyard, okay.
Identifying her. It could have been her student ID for all you know, but wearing a lanyard. This must be someone official.
Very important.
Yes.
Clipboard guy-esque.
Clipboard and all, yes. And she knocks on the door. I go to the door. And she says, may I speak with Nicole Vetrano, which is not me. So I'm like, absolutely. Because now I'm off the hook for whatever this is about
yes,
to
please,
be.
Let me go get her.
Yeah,
quick.
Let me get her. She's right here. And she cannot wait to talk to you. So I go and wife says, like, who is it? I don't know. Ask for you.
Not my problem.
So she goes, relatively short conversation. She's back in the room. I'm like, what was that? She's like, oh, somebody asking who I was going to vote for. And I said, what did you say? She's like, well, I said, I don't share that information. And she said she was polite, and then the person left. I'm like, well, now I'm interested. Like, the reporter in me is like, okay, who's she working for? Yeah. What is the motivation? Like, what's happening here? My wife didn't follow up, but so I'm going to offer you a theory based on what happened there. I believe it was someone affiliated with one of the campaigns, or at least a special interest that supports those campaigns. And I say that because it wasn't just a survey. She didn't have any interest in me. Wasn't there to talk to me.
Is it because you're a guy or something else?
I think it's because, and if you get a knock like this at your door, in some of these cases, you're on a list somewhere. One of the campaigns or one of these interests think that you're likely to vote a certain way based on some sort of other prior affiliation. So maybe you were in a public employees union, so the Democrats think you're more likely to vote for them. Or maybe you volunteered for a Republican campaign somewhere one time or contributed money to something and they think you're more likely to vote for them. So then they're sending folks out hand-to-hand combat, person-to-person, door-to-door, too. If you give the right answer to the question of who you're going to vote for, it's followed by, here's how you vote early, here's how you get an absentee ballot, here's what time your clerk's office opens, like, all the information.
How can I help you make sure you cast a ballot?
And can I mark you off as for sure going to vote?
Yeah.
Or do I need to come back and bother you again? Because you got to get every single one of those votes out. It's about getting those people who are kind of indifferent as to whether or not they're going to vote, making sure every one of those go.
Hmm.
That's what I think happened there.
My situation was different. Mine was just a guy who asked, hi, can I ask you a couple of questions about the upcoming election?
No.
I was like, absolutely not. Actually, he was super polite. I just said, I'm like, I work in the media. I'm like, I'm not comfortable answering any question like that. And he goes, okay, sounds good.
I've given that answer before.
It was actually very nice. It was the easiest guy to get off my stoop in a long time. Usually the bug guy or some of those players, I can't get those guys out of here. Like, they said,
hey, you sure you want me to have a look?
Hey, the shingles up here. No, beat it.
Siding looks, I was just looking over the
side. I don't know. Your neighbor said you'd be interested. I don't care what my neighbor said. I don't
And also, he didn't say that.
Yeah, there's no way he said that.
Otherwise, we're going to have a talk with Mike or Steve. Why you send this guy over here? I think that's interesting. That's probably more of a survey or a poll. And
yeah,
I've given
likely.
That answer before as well.
Yeah,
I'm not right.
What
Greg
about
Pancake
you,
Hill also had an encounter.
Yeah, so mine seemed more territorial. The guy was just going and, you know, said whatever candidate they were stumping for. And typically I just say, oh, yeah. Again, the effort to get him off my porch. Super nice guy, but I think he was just making his rounds. What was more interesting about my interaction was about a day or two later, I got a phone call. Again, not like me answering the phone.
Yeah,
with a number I don't know
there.
For real, or answering my door. That's a different discussion. And it was someone asking how that person did. Hey, heard you met so and so. They came to your door. How were they? Were they pleasant? Like asking for a progress report. And I was very honest and said they were very pleasant, didn't bug me much, and just kind of doing his job. I get it. But the call afterwards to say, like, hey, so and so was in your area. Did you talk to him? How'd it go? That was interesting to me.
Did you answer his question correctly for a particular candidate?
Yes, I did.
Like what he
and
was
you won
to
a
hear?
Toaster.
Correct. You know what? If he would have led with something, like, hey, you get something, I would have been more inclined. But there was also, I don't know if that's probably not legal.
It's
a lot
not,
of different
right.
facets. But yeah, he was very kind, answered his questions, and he was like, all right, great. My
leave you with some literature, some reading material?
Of course.
Very nice.
Good. All right, so you feel fine with that? I have to admit, like, it feels a little bit shady when there's somebody at your door asking you about election stuff.
Yeah, just...
It feels shady.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying it is, and I'm not saying anything illegal or untoward is happening here. I'm just saying, like, it just feels weird. Or people, it's public record, not who you vote for, but whether you voted.
Yes, and I've gotten that before. I've gotten that letter saying, hey, by the way, a lot of your neighbors in this area haven't voted. You should really suggest that they vote.
Mine was interesting, too. The guy wasn't, like, decked out in garb or anything. Like, he wasn't wearing flags or wearing all this, like, you know, memorabilia to a specific candidate. Right. He just looked like a dude.
He wasn't wearing flags.
Kind of like
Captain America.
Election man. You're saying, but yeah, a lanyard,
or
a button,
like
something.
No,
like,
lanyard?
More? No, nothing. Again, he looked like a dude, which made me more inclined to answer the door at all, because if I see a clipboard or anything, I'm not answering that door.
I don't know. I think you should file an addendum then on your interviewer to find out how Mike did or whatever at your door. Say, hey, no lanyard? What? No clipboard?
This has me
running over there.
This has me wondering, too, what's proper etiquette? How long do you stand on the stoop and ring the doorbell if you know someone's home and they're not answering the door?
Oh, it's one ring, and if you know they're home, like, if you hear it ring, then you get one ring.
But if I'm standing out there and I see you, like, lurking in one of the windows and you're not answering, do I just keep ringing?
What's the likelihood I'm going to want to talk to you then?
And for someone who has a one-year-old at home who could be napping at any point, do not ring more doorbell more than once, please.
If you do the ring but you're not sure it's rung, that's a tough one. Then you follow with the knock.
I've had to do a second ring because I wasn't sure. And
All right.
I'm embarrassed about that.
8:23 on Wisconsin's Morning News.
No, that wasn't Brewers buzz in Port Washington. It was not excitement over the crew.
Nor was it severe weather.
Nor was it severe weather. It was not a tornado. It was not winter weather issues. It was none of that. But we just had a siren that went on and went on and went on in Port Washington. Here's how it reads, the Port Washington Police Department on its Facebook page. We at the police department are aware that the tornado siren on the west end of the city is actively going off.
Can you imagine?
Just nonstop. Ma.
Do you want me to do the noise or no?
Oh.
I can.
Please, would you?
Do you want me to or no? I won't do it if you don't want me to.
Well, your sound will be almost too perfect like an actual siren. Yeah, and imagine that all the time. All the time. A call for service has been made, said the police department. We hope it can be rectified soon. That's not a good sign when you hear that.
I can make it more annoying.
So the police department went on to say, unfortunately, this activation is of no fault to anyone turning it on and forgetting about it. Therefore, it cannot just be turned off. Now, that's where I beg to differ. I firmly believe if you really wanted it off, I bet there's a wire you could cut somewhere.
Yeah, can't you just, like, pull the plug on it? Like, while this continues to malfunction, we'll shut it down. We know there's no severe
weather
today. Slip
a circuit breaker somewhere. Call We Energies. Right. Hey, can you just...
Until they come out.
Kill this, please. Anyway, we're told that it's not on in the morning now.
Unrelated story, but to that point, we had in the middle of the night one time... when we were living in Bayview, and so you park on the street, right out in front of our house, one of the cars, the horn started going.
Oh, no.
That
is
like
the
just
worst.
Full blast, wouldn't stop, didn't short out, didn't come back, just...
So what'd you do?
So I found the fuse, and I pulled the fuse.
Oh, it was your car?
It was my wife's car.
Oh.
No, it was us. It was our car.
I was going to say, wow.
Well, first you wake up annoyed, like, who the hell is... Who's not... Oh, that's me.
I see.
So I went out there in the dark, like I'm trying to figure out. I'm fumbling around. I'm like, that was what popped into my head is, let's pop the fuse,
disable
the horn that way, and then we'll worry about fixing it later.
Nothing to suggest that's what they did in Port Washington.
Doesn't sound like it.
They did ask people not to call 911 and please stop calling dispatch. We are aware of the issue.
Siding Unlimited, WTMJ News Time, 8:30. 8:38 on Wisconsin's Morning News. I want to get into this story because every moment of your young life is like virtually irreplaceable. I think about this with the kids in COVID and what they went through. If you were in college or high school or whatever, if you were in high school during the COVID year and you missed your prom, you can't get that back, right? You know, for us as adults, okay, COVID was hard for a lot of folks and you missed things and whatever, but whatever, we get those years back or we make up for it later. You can't replace junior prom.
Yeah.
You can't replace your season, your high school senior season of soccer or golf or whatever it is that
whatever
you're into,
it is.
A band.
Right.
You know, those things are gone. And I put that lens on this story about football with an MPS, and it's not really a football story. It's a kids missing opportunity story, and it's a screw-up on the part of MPS. You got two Milwaukee City Conference football teams just found out this week that they have to forfeit all the games they've already played this season, and for the next couple of seasons, they can't even participate in the playoffs, no matter how good they are. So not for nothing, but you're always trying to get to the next level, right? You want to make the playoffs. And they learned this from the Wisconsin Interscholastic Athletic Association, the WIAA, which is the governing body for high school sports in Wisconsin. Programs are Bayview and Pulaski. And it's not the school's fault. It's not the coach's fault. And it certainly isn't the kids' fault. The information here is from City of Milwaukee, several common council members signing on to a statement of disgust as to how this has all played out for these young athletes and their families and their coaches and staff, school. As well as Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. JS reports the WIA informed the schools Monday of that punishment. The problem is Milwaukee City Conference has two divisions. Many other conferences do that as well. We're in the Woodland Conference in Greendale. We've got this division, that division. And they wanted to do some shuffling in the offseason. So they wanted to move Bayview from one division to the other and Pulaski from that division into the one, whatever. They just want to swap them out.
Mm-hmm.
So, but it's a conference realignment, if you will. You have to inform the WIAA of that, and the WIAA, as that governing body, has to approve that change. It's pretty much a rubber stamp, unless there's something controversial about it. So it's no big deal. But as it turns out, MPS didn't do it. They either never filled out or never filed with the WIAA this paperwork that is required for that approval. So WIA finds out about it, and they're like, this wasn't approved. These are technically like out-of-conference games or out-of-division. Anyway, violation of the rules, and we void your season. And you also have this punishment. Now, folks can debate the WIA's decision.
Isn't that a little over the top also?
And MPS reportedly is going to appeal that. And, you know, it's one of those things of you're punishing the kids for stuff that wasn't your fault. Okay, that said, and I'm no big defender of WIAA, but also you can't have a billion different of these things coming up saying, well, it wasn't the kids' fault, but what people got to do their job.
Eventually you have to do what you're supposed to.
And there are rules. And if you're out in the suburbs there and you were supposed to play one of these teams in the playoffs that violated the rules and they knock your team out, you're like, hey, okay. So you might have a different thought then as to whether or not the WIA ought to come down on schools not following the rules. It's all coming down on a woman who is the top athletics official for the Milwaukee City Conference, the MPS employee, Bobby Kelsey. They're saying she's the one who dropped the ball. She didn't file this stuff. Milwaukee Common Council even is piling on. Several council members signing on to a letter where they say this is unconscionable as the hopes and dreams of players on these teams and the coaching staffs have been crushed because the top athletics official for the city conference dropped the ball. They also call all of this unacceptable. They say actually a wider problem in MPS sports. MPS athletics is losing people due to the dysfunction in how Ms. Kelsey handles her duties is part of the letter. Difficult enough getting good coaches and administrative stakeholders to step forward and help our student athletes. I don't know how it's remedied other than how it is, other than MPS has to answer about this employee. And once again, you have the kids on the receiving end of bad outcomes because of incompetence among the adults who are running the schools that they rely on. It is 8:42 on Wisconsin's Morning News.
All right, so we expected the flag situation to get kicked. We discussed this on Tuesday's program. What would happen to the Milwaukee flag? This is the one that is blue and yellow. It's got the sun depicting rising over Lake Michigan that a group of do-gooders had created years ago through a contest that someone made and entered and won.
And then people liked it, and they said, why don't we make this the official city flag? And instead of just voting on it and figuring it out, we've been talking about it for better part of a decade.
Yeah, so what happened on Tuesday at the Common Council meeting?
Bureaucracy, legislation, red tape.
I'm so bored.
Doesn't anything fun happen here?
When you work for the local government, doing the bare minimum is doing your part.
It's time to take another visit to City Hall.
All right, Alderman Peter Burgelis, he was the one that was pushing, let's make this flag finally the official flag of the city of Milwaukee. But you and I discussed this yesterday. We wondered, wonder if this is going to get kicked again, if they're going to delay this just because they don't really want to have to make a decision. And the way he started, I thought that's how it was going.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This has been a long 3 weeks of many discussions with colleagues and other stakeholders in the community.
Yeah, a long one. So what's going to happen? Well, Burgelis surprised me. He and Alderman Chambers, who you may recall was a big critic of this flag and said so many times during the hearing last month, they both agreed the best way forward was to put the matter on the ballot, bring the people's flag to the people.
I think the best path forward be to put this question to voters and let voters decide.
Yes, put it on the April ballot.
A little okay.
So would you have to take all the Milwaukee people's flags that might be in any venue where you vote? Would those all have to be taken down because of the election year? Can you imagine? Anyway, so you may ask, well, why would you do a referendum? Why not just vote on the matter? Why not just vote?
Yes,
and if you have a majority of 8-7, then it passes. And if you don't, you don't. Why not just do that?
Yes, why not?
Well, Burgelis says Mayor Johnson has threatened to veto the flag. So they need at least 10 votes to get it to go through that veto process. So they figured, well, this is another way to do that. Let's just do a referendum instead of, you know, the fear of it being vetoed by the mayor. Well, Alderman Bob Bauman was like, well, hold on. In order to make this a referendum, you're talking about, like, changing the charter. Why would we do this only for a flag?
I get why we want to put it to the people. Fine. I get all that. Understand, referendum, there are very dangerous precedents that we'd be setting here. Every controversial issue can be sent to a referendum as a non-advisory triggering referendum, whatever the issue may be.
Yes, yeah, that means it'd be used more than just this one time.
Just going to leave this up to the plebeians to decide amongst themselves.
Do you want to hear that again, start of it? I do appreciate how he started it. Here it is.
I get why we want to put it to the people. Fine. I get all that.
Fine. Let the plebs work it out amongst themselves.
Fine. I get that idea.
I think his point, though, was actually legit, was that what are we doing here if we're not deciding as the elected representatives
Correct.
Of the people?
And Alderman Brostoff said that too.
If that's the case, why do we make decisions on much more important things? We should, you know, we should be seeking this action for all sorts of stuff if that's the case, and I don't want to set that precedent.
So in the end, they weren't sure if they wanted to do the referendum or even the legality behind doing the referendum. It was decided they would hold the matter in council. That means it remains unfinished business at least for another month.
Any objections to holding it in council? Okay, hearing none, so ordered.
And the can, again, kicked on the flag.
I'm legitimately asking, should you and I even keep covering this? Like, legit. There's part of me that's like, now people are counting on us to tell them what's going on with this. Part of it is illustrative as to how the body works. I'm less interested even in the outcome of the flag and more to show you, like, this is what it's like inside this governing body.
And that's my point to it, is that, like, look, in the council can be frustrated if they want, because they actually passed a few things yesterday. And there's some money that was used for ARPA, and there's different things that actually made the news. But this was right out of the gate. Everyone's there. All the cameras are on. And again, this happens. You know how you fix that? You just take care of this. Just vote it in or vote it out. Move on.
8:51 on Wisconsin's Morning News. Coming up, why what I'm not hearing about some sort of announcement today might tell us exactly what that is.
WTMJ, W277CV, and WKTI HD2 Milwaukee from the Annex Wealth Management Studios. This is News Radio WTMJ, a Good Karma brand station.
Freeze warning should be thawing here by 9 o'clock. Sunny today.
What's
high.
Happening?
Yeah. freeze warning. Ugh. High 56 today. Tonight, clear and chilly. Frost inland tonight, a low of 32 degrees inland. Tomorrow looks nice. Thursday, sunny and nice, a high of 64. Forecast sponsored by Dave Dre Campaigning, where your comfort is their family's tradition.
So happening today, and this is a situation where hearing nothing is actually telling me something about a news story that is ahead. There's a news conference at 11 o'clock today, And here's the official news release on it, and then I'll give you the background. Milwaukee Bucks and FPC Live to provide a construction update on the venue coming to Deer District. This is the about 4,000 capacity concert venue that's going to be just south of Fiserv Forum, so where the Bradley Center used to sit. The pilings are already going in. Like, this is happening. It's already been approved. There had at one point been there was going to be a smaller venue, like 800 seats.
That's done.
Out. So it's just this one. Think of a ballroom style thing, like the Rave. It'll be similar in size to Eagles Club Ballroom.
Okay.
And they want to book these shows that are kind of tweeners, that are bigger than a Riverside, which is about 2,400 seats, or Pabst or Marcus Center for smaller shows, but not big enough to be an arena show. And so they think there's a sweet spot here for entertainment, and that's why this venue is going up. What is the announcement today? A lot of people involved in this. So you got Peter Fagan from the Bucks, guy who's the CEO of Frank Productions. You got the mayor's going to be there. Alderman Bob Bauman's going to be there. Peggy Williams-Smith, president and CEO of Visit Milwaukee. That indicates
that is a big group.
It suggests to me, right, that it's going to be more than, hey, we're on time, we're on budget. Okay, fine. But, like, all these people.
Okay, so a big announcement, maybe?
All these schedules coordinated. Other thing that indicates to me it could be big is I reached out to several people who have provided for me information before about things like this, and nobody's telling me anything. Like, nobody would give anything up. Well, it might be, well, you might just have to be there.
So what does that mean? It's either something big or...
So it could mean, right, that it's a big enough announcement that nobody wants to step on anybody's toes. Sometimes that happens. When it's a big deal, you're like...
I don't want to be the one who leaks.
Yes, I don't want to be the leak, and I don't want to screw anything up if there are contracts or whatever. So it could be that, which would cause you to think this is a big deal. Or it could be it's so lame... Nobody wants to say anything because they know if they tell you the truth, it's just going to be about some get a shipment of steel coming in that you won't even go or pay attention. I don't know what it is.
Oh, man, I hope it's not that.
I'm leaning toward that.
It's not unprecedented for everyone to just get some FaceTime to in a random news conference.
Big announcement. Yeah, to you.
Oh, no.
To somebody, you know, dropping the kids off at school or going to work or about their... I don't know.
I was hoping you were going to say, like, they would actually announce a show.
I think that's also a possibility.
What, that, like Coldplay?
Not big. Did you listen to the venue side? They just sold out Camp Randall.
It could be an intimate show.
Yes, an intimate evening with Coldplay. No, maybe it could be a show. I think that would be a good peg. That would be a big announcement.
Love Monkeys, would that disappoint you?
Yeah, that would disappoint Love Monkeys. You don't want a local cover band for your first big show. No, it would have to be without any offense to the Love Monkeys, who are wonderful. Or Pat McCurdy, or Eddie Butts Band, et al. Or the Guffs.
What about Violent Femmes? Does that count?
Ish. 8:59, I guess we'll find out, 11 o'clock, on Wisconsin's Morning News, WTMJ, Political Power Hour, just ahead with Steve Scafidi.